Here in Genesis chapter 13, we read about two men, one, an uncle and a nephew. And Abraham has a nephew named Lot. And one of the things that I want people to understand is there's a lot of confusion going on in our country and in a lot of churches about what people call the Lordship salvation. And Lordship salvation is a doctrine, and I typically don't hit doctrine like that as much as I do the truth. One of the things that they teach you is the fact that when you know a real item, when you know the Bible well enough, you'll understand that what something comes down the pike, it'll be a dangerous thing. It'll be dangerous to teach people this or that. The term Lordship salvation means that when you get saved, automatically everything that Jesus wants you to do, you do. And I've found that not to be true. And we're going to see that in the life of one man in the Old Testament that we had no idea until we get to just about the end of the Bible that he was even saved. Lot was one of the people that everything you see in his life was a dangerous decision. He didn't see it that way. He had that tunnel vision. He didn't have the long look. He didn't look eternally like what we need to do. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. One of the things that we need to do is to realize you cannot abstain from all appearance of evil unless you know the Bible and know what God calls evil. Okay? And that's why it's so important to know the Word of God. And we as Christians need to get into the Bible and study it so that we know what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. And when we do that, then we'll start seeing things the way God sees them. And it'll help give us a buffer. You're going to mess up from time to time. I'm going to mess up from time to time. No doubt. But the truth is, the farther we are away from evil, the safer we are. It's kind of like why they put you. How many of you have ever been to a zoo? Aren't you glad they've got a cage or a barrier around the lions? And that's one of the things every once in a while you'll hear people, they climb over the cage or climb down into the gorilla cage or whatever. That cage is there for a reason. Okay, it's to keep the danger in and keep you safe by staying out. And that's what the Bible says about us. But we see a man here in Lot that makes a decision, and his first decision just spirals into a complete out of control issue which destroys his entire family. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read just a few verses here, starting with verse 5. Genesis chapter 13. It says, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between thy herdmen, my herdmen, and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for giving us a Bible. I thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit when we get saved to help us make decisions that are pleasing to you. And Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. We ask you to do something special. Lord, we all need to be a little more wise in this crazy world. We need to help us, need your help to help us make the decisions that are best, not just good, but best, because Lord, so many times we settle. And Lord, I thank you for giving us this lesson. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be in control of the message that you have for your people this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you, not from the preacher. Lord, we need to hear from you. Let us do that this morning. Let your Holy Spirit be in control. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things that I see here is the first thing Abraham does is he makes a decision. He says, I want to get rid of the conflict between Lot and myself. We're family. Abraham had already taken care of Lot and raised him up like a father, and he was actually his brother's son, who Haran had died, and Lot took care of him. I preached a message years ago when I was assistant pastor, called and preached out of this passage about Lot, and I called it the appropriately named nephew, because Lot was a lot of trouble. And that's what he was. He was a lot of trouble. If you go, and I'm not going to cover all these things about Lot, but in chapter 14, not only do you see here in chapter 13, that he pitches his tent towards Sodom, but in chapter 14, you find him in Sodom. And it clearly tells us here in verse 13, in chapter 13, by the way, it's interesting how that's numbered, 13, 13, it always seems to be a negative connotation, but Genesis 13, 13, it says, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, the Lord had already told, we know what's going on here, but Lot, there was a draw there, okay? It was something there that he wanted. Why would he pitch his tent toward Sodom? I can kind of guess there are a lot of pretty things in Sodom. It was a wealthy city. It was a lot of technology. One of those fine things, one of the dangerous things in our society today is people that have to keep up with the Joneses. Okay? It is a dangerous thing to let peer pressure, to feel like you've got to meet up to the status quo of everybody else. Because when it starts as a child, and that's one of the things we teach the children, is we teach them, don't let peer pressure cause you to do things you shouldn't do. Okay? If everybody else has got $150 tennis shoes, don't mean you've got to have them. But the truth is, that draw from Lot, he was looking where he shouldn't have looked. There's a principle there you find throughout the Bible. It all started with Eve looking at the fruit. She was looking at something she shouldn't have looked at. By the way, if you don't look at it, you don't start desiring it. And if you don't start desiring it, you're not as apt to be tempted by it. And step by step, same thing with, if you go to Joshua chapter 7, a man named Achan. When the children of Israel were going into Jericho and the walls had fell down and they were wiping out Jericho, one of the things that you see is Achan is tempted because he sees a Babylonish garment, he sees some gold, and he sees some silver. And he takes them, even though the Lord had told him, don't do it. They had told all the children of Israel, don't touch anything in the city. But he got to looking. And the look led to take. And the take not only caused him, but his entire family to be destroyed. But that's not the only place. How about a guy named David? When David was up on the balcony, and he looks over and he sees Bathsheba. I guarantee you, David, his first step, by the way, was not just looking at Bathsheba. His first step was not being where he was supposed to be. He should have been with the kings in battle. But I guarantee you, it might have well been the devil that kept him up that night and had him walk over to the balcony and see that woman, Bathsheba, who was already somebody else's wife. And you know the rest of the story. How wicked it all, and it just turned out it was not only just that, but the curse that was on his family from that point on. Lot starts off making a bad decision because he pitched his tent looking at Sodom. He could have pitched his tent this way, or anywhere in between. But no, he pitched his tent. The opening of his tent was looking at Sodom. And I want you to understand that you and I as Christians, we know what the Bible says. If we don't know, the more you hear preaching, the more you study the Bible, the more you'll get to know that there are dangers out there. And the devil is very, very tricky. There's a spider in South America. I don't know the name of the spider. But what it does is it thrives in the jungles, in the rainforest down there. And what it does, it's a very colorful spider. And what it does is it hangs off of the edge of a branch in the rainforest, and it looks like a flower. And an unsuspecting butterfly or an unsuspecting hummingbird comes by, or a bee or whatever, and checks it out to see if there's any pollen there. And they're the spider's lunch. You and I can do the same thing with our lives. The Bible clearly tells us here that Lot started out wrong. It's interesting, and I've kind of toyed with this in my mind, and the fact that what would have happened had Lot chosen the other way, to go west towards the land of Canaan, and Abraham. I guarantee you Abraham would not have been in Sodom. He wouldn't have gone into Sodom. He had the discernment. Now, he did go to Egypt. He got Hagar, which was another problem for him. But the truth is, what he does is Abraham had the discernment. I want you to get this now. Discernment is a valuable asset that God allows us to have. You say, what is discernment? Discernment is a spiritual gift that God allows us to have when we get saved to help us choose right from wrong, good and bad. The Holy Spirit will tell you, you better not do that. And if you get a little closer, he's saying, you're treading on thin ice. And you get a little closer, and guess what? He's warning us. Doesn't mean you're going to stop. He's giving you a warning. You say, well, what about Lot? Did he have discernment? I want you to understand, he had lived with Abraham pretty much all his life, all his adult life, absolutely. And his dad died when he was young, I believe, or Abraham wouldn't have taken him under as a son. But he knew how to make decisions. Abraham made decisions. He walked with God. The Bible says Abraham's a friend of God. That's his description. He's the friend of God. Don't you think that Lot heard Abraham talking a lot about God? He'd go to Bethel. Look at what it says in verse... Well, let's look a little farther. Look at the first few verses in chapter 13. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, because between Bethel and Hai. And look at verse 4, and it says, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot's still with him at this point. They don't split till a little bit after this, later in the chapter. And so Lot understood the things that were going on and the way Abraham lived and the way he made decisions. And Lot decided, I can handle this. Kind of sounds like a guy named Peter. Lord, I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never deny you. And I got news for you. You and I have a tendency. We are flesh. We do not have any strength within us. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. Okay, we need his help. You can't keep your heart beating if he says no. And so we need him for everything. So don't, too many times we think, well, I can handle this without the Lord's help. The Lord doesn't need to help me with it. I got news for you. Don't ever try that. Because that's a good place where the devil will trip you up. That's a good place where the flesh will draw you in. Because you've got the same problem I've got. This flesh suit pulls us the wrong way. It always does. But I got news for you. If you listen with your heart, not your head, not with your eyes, if you listen with your heart and the Lord's saying, you need to go this way. You don't need to pitch your tent towards Sodom. You don't need to be looking at that fruit, Eve. You don't need to be out on that balcony, David. You don't need to be taking that stuff there in Jericho, Achan. Every time we look at what we shouldn't have, what God tells us not to, we'll regret it. Because even if we don't reach out and take it as a temptation, it causes a lust in us. We're covetous towards that. Whatever it is, so-and-so's got a new car. I don't have a new car. I got news for you. He's got payments too. But the truth is, what we need to do is to be... The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Lot had a lot of possessions. He had great substance is what the passage says. And what we need to realize is, why would Lot go into the city of Sodom? Chapter 14 not only tells us he's in Sodom, but also that he's captured because of the war that takes place between the cities of Sodom and some of the other cities. And Abraham, what's he have to do? I love this story. I could preach just on it. But Abraham armed his trained servants. You want to talk about, yes, I am a Second Amendment Christian, okay? I am. And I believe that every home ought to be armed, especially as dangerous as it's getting today. But Abraham trained armed his trained servants, and all it says that he had was like 318 servants. And they went out against these city armies. And he rescued Lot. Not only that, but he divided his servants to go and conquer. How on earth did he do that? God was with him. And then after Abraham rescues Lot, what's Lot do? He goes right back into the city of Sodom. He never learned his lesson. Then we get to Genesis chapter 19. Let's go there right quick. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because it covers the whole chapter. In chapter 18, Abraham's trying to negotiate with God and does negotiate with God. And the Lord promises that he won't destroy the city if there's 10 righteous, 10 saved people there. Now, he knew it. Abraham knew that Lot was saved. You say, how do you know? I'll show you in a minute. But he figured at least Lot, he's around all these lost people. Surely he's won some people. Surely his family's saved. And we know that Lot has him and his wife. He had at least two married daughters. So Lot and his wife, his two married daughters and their sons, that's six. His two unmarried daughters, at least two unmarried daughters. So that's eight right there. And God, and Abraham's saying, surely he's won at least two people while he's there. But he didn't. He hadn't even won his family. But look at what it says in verse 1. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in this gate of Sodom. That means that he was a counselor. He's on the city commission, okay? That's where the city commissioners, the counselors sit. They sit in the gate. And it says, and Lot seeing them rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they say, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. These are two angels, okay? They're the two angels that were coming to destroy the city. They were actually coming to rescue Lot and his family, pull them out of the city. And I guarantee you, if somebody came to me and said, okay, Bartow's going to be destroyed, you better get out of town. That's one thing. If two angels show up, I think you probably ought to obey. Okay? Two angels showed up. And Lot's worried about them because he knows that the Sodomites. And I am not going to water down this. A lot of the world doesn't call, they say that it was the sin of inhospitality, or they were inhospitable there in Sodom, and that's why God destroyed them. I got news for you. It was the sin of wicked sodomy and wicked immoral perversion. It was homosexual sin. It was bestiality. It was all kinds of wickedness that took place in the city. And if you study out what God says in chapter 18, you'll see that God says, their wickedness has come up before me. Basically, he says, it stinks in my nose and I'm going to get rid of it. And these angels were the ones that came down. I want you to, now I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because my focus is on Lot. But Lot gets the angels to stay in his house. And then the men of the city saw those angels come in and they wanted to have sex with the angels. I know it's a grotesque, it's probably the most grotesque chapter, one of the most grotesque chapters in the Bible, but it's dealing with something that you and I have to deal with in our, you can't turn the TV on without having to deal with some of this garbage. And by the way, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. But what Lot did is he said he offered his unmarried, his virgin daughters to go and take them out to the men that beat on the door and wanted to have sex with the angels rather than just a wicked, wicked concept. Where did he get all that stuff? He'd been in Sodom too long. When you're around wickedness, it rubs off. When you watch that stuff on TV, it rubs off. We need to be careful and realize that wickedness and vile things are a disgusting in the eyes of God, and they should be just as disgusting in our eyes as well. So what happens is Lot, the angels, they give him an opportunity. Do you have any more in the city? And he says, yeah, I've got some unmarried daughters, or married daughters. And he said, well, you better go get them. Then Lot goes to his sons-in-laws and his married daughters and said, you got to get out of the city. And they said, what? God's going to destroy the city? You're nuts. You see, one of the things that I see in that is the fact that because Lot had been in the city and because he had compromised with everything else in the city and become a part of the city to be on the council, he lost his testimony. And his sons-in-laws and even his married daughters didn't believe him. God help us as Christians if we compromise so much with the world that when we have an important message to share, whether it's our family or friends or whoever, God help us if we've lost our testimony and they don't believe us. I got news for you. People might not necessarily believe me. I've had people tell me, one time I was witnessing to him, he said, and I gave him some reasons why I believe what I believe. He said, I don't necessarily believe what you believe. He said, but there's no doubt in my mind you believe it. And what we as Christians need to do is not water down our testimony. Don't compromise with the world. Take a stand against evil. Take a stand against ungodliness. So Lot was dragging his feet, leaving the city because he kept hoping that his daughters would come back. Him and his wife and his two daughters, the angels are grabbing and dragging them out of the city. The angel tells them, don't look back. Lot's wife looks back. She turns into a pillar of salt. Then the wickedness that he commits incest with his two daughters later in the chapter, he gets drunk, and they have children by their daddy. Just gives us more a reason to see that he should never have followed that path. And it all started when he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Our world has a tendency to dangle pretty things in front of us. The devil's real good about it. Just like the spider and the butterfly. But I got news for you. We need to keep our eyes on the God of heaven. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Turn over all the way back to 2 Peter, towards the back of the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you something. This is the only reason, only thing we know about Lot that he ever made a good decision about. Look at what it says starting with verse 4. And it says, and if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodliness, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The word vexed there is found twice, in verse 7 and verse 8. You and I should be vexed when we turn the TV on and they talk about this garbage. Homosexuality or multiculturalism or transgenderism or abortion or anything like that. We should be vexed. It should just hit our soul so hard that it hurts. But it says here, verse 7, it says, delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I can't imagine it's bad enough when you turn the TV on. It's bad enough when you're going down the road, somebody's got their so-called music. I don't call it music. That kind of stuff is not music, okay? And then they're using vile, filthy language. That, I can't imagine what the language was like in Sodom, as perverted and twisted and demented as those people were. By the way, the King James Bible uses the word sodomite 5 times. You know why the word sodomite isn't in the NIV? Because there was a sodomite on the committee. You really want to use the NIV? Not me. Only thing I know it's good for is maybe start a fire or something, but anyway. But I want you to understand that you and I, we get used to the filth of this world. We get used to what's going on in this world. And we need to keep our souls clean. We need to keep our minds clean. We need to keep our thoughts clean. And you can't do it when you're around that kind of garbage. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't try to win them, but that's as far as it goes. If you've got family like that, there's still a certain way as far as you can go. But the truth is, it should vex us. Look at verse 8. It says, for that righteous man, there's not one thing in the life of Lot that can give us an indication that he was righteous at all. He never made a right decision that we've got in Scripture. Except one. Somewhere down the line, he got saved. That's why he had a righteous soul. It says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know what they're doing to us on in TV and and everything in the news and on the internet and everything else, they're trying to get us to accept their wicked lifestyle. God calls it abomination. Okay? I'm gonna say it like this, and I've never been politically correct, probably never will be. But homosexuality is a lifestyle that is so disgusting that even the animals won't stoop that low. I'm serious. There's a song on, and I encourage you to look it up if you want to. It's a good song called Come On Down to the Farm. And on YouTube it says, come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you'll not see two roosters walking arm in arm. Okay? And it all started when Lot set his eyes on something he shouldn't have had. I've seen people destroyed. I've seen pastors, preachers destroyed because of this. And we as Christians have the guidelines. You as a Christian, me as a pastor, as a Christian, what we need to do is to put barriers in our life. Okay? The song, I have decided to follow Jesus. It says, though none go with me, I still will follow. Sometimes following Jesus is a lonely road. Sometimes you feel like a poor pilgrim. But I got news for you. You're never alone. As long as Jesus is with you. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Our desire is, should be, to keep ourselves a clean vessel that He can use. I want Him to use me. You can dirty your vessel anytime you want. Doesn't take any talent. Nothing special. That quick you can mess it up. But I decided a long time ago, I said, Lord, I don't know what you can do with this crazy old man. But Lord, what I want you to do, I want to see what you can do. I just want to see what you can do. That was years ago. Then I went to Bible college. And I've just been trying to please Him ever since. He says, this is what I want. You want me to go where, Lord? I want you to go to Missouri. Okay, I'm not real smart, but I'm smart enough to know that you know best. Lord, you know it's cold in Missouri, right? Yeah, I know that, Ryan. But the truth is, we as Christians need to make sure that we keep our eyes on the right thing. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not think about and think upon a maid. The devil knows. He'll dangle it in front of you. If we keep our eyes right and keep our tongue right, that'll help keep our heart right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. Lord, we ask You to move in a special way. I thank You for us being able to understand this lesson and the fact that it's in the Word of God. And Lord, I hate to see families that are destroyed simply by a parent that's strung along by the devil. And a lot of times, most of the time, they're destroyed by a look. And then a temptation. And then give in to the temptation. Lord, I pray for You just to help us decide to make decisions based on what pleases You. Lord, we know that You'll never lead us wrong. And the more we get accustomed to Your voice, the better off we are. Lord, I pray for You just to move in a special way in the invitation. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your touch. Use us, Lord. And if there's a decision that needs to be made, Lord, help us make that decision. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.